Does your belief in God and His Word mean that you need to reject all of science? Is there a faithful way to integrate science and faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. You can purchase this $5 book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. 5 Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
It's beautiful, Yoshida. Keep it safe for me. Someday I'll come get it.
My employer is dying. He wants to thank you for saving his life all those years ago. It's an honor to meet the Wolverine.
That's not who I am anymore.
After the war, the Yashida family business became Japan's largest. He made advances that have saved millions of lives.
I want to offer you a gift, Roger.
You have struggled long enough. Your ability to heal can be passed to another. Allow someone else to shoulder your burden. Lola, son, I can make you mortal.
Trust me, Bob.
You don't want what I've got. I'm not ready to die.
Little of the trailer of the movie The Wolverine. It's one in the X-Men series, and this one focuses on just that character, as others have. Another sequel here, but telling a story in maybe a different way. Are there overtones? This is common in superhero movies, that at some point in the storytelling, the superhero is shorn of his powers. And to me, that rings very strongly of an Old Testament theme, especially that of Samson. We're going to talk about the movie The Wolverine here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio here in Collinsville, Illinois, on this Friday afternoon, September the 20th. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest for the first few minutes. Pastor Tom Baker will join us after that. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson talking about God providing for Elijah the prophet in 1 Kings 17. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of GetReligion.org will be with us. We'll talk about media coverage of the religion angle and angles that we find in the Navy Yard shooting rampage. It appears that the shooter was, at least at one time, nominally Buddhist. Does that have anything to do with the shooting? Dr. James Hitchcock will be our guest. We'll answer the question, is Pope Francis a social progressive? The media is certainly portraying them that way, aren't they? And then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 4 soundbites we'll play for you. You get to listen, and then you get to call, email, send us a tweet, or visit our Facebook fan page and vote. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's an instructor for an online course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
This one, I agree with you completely. You write that it reminds you, at least at points, of the Old Testament story of Samson. Talk about that to kick this off.
Yeah, often with Samson, like one of the stories about Samson that we remember so often, that's taught usually in Sunday school and things like that, is the story of him losing his strength. And that when he's with Delilah, you know, she asks him, you know, how to take away his strength. And he gives her a bunch of false leads, but eventually his hair is cut off, and that's when he loses his strength. And so in this movie, Wolverine, you get a lot of, one of the main big plots in the film is contending with him potentially losing his special mutant attributes, which give him extraordinary strength and healing abilities. So that whole, what happens when the guy loses his powers? So for Samson, of course, he gets accosted, he has his eyes gouged out, and he's set, kind of in prison with the Philistines. And then he finally gets his strength back in the end. But of course, that strength comes from God. In this case, you know, it's he has to deal with losing his strength. And you see this one great, fascinating, excellent scene where he gets shot. And I don't know about you, but like you see lots of movies and people get shot in them, but you don't often, like in an action film, go, you'll stop at that moment. He's like, oh, he got shot, because suddenly you see the pain on him. And that was quite a dramatic moment and really well done.
Well, I got to wonder about this, and I don't think it's stretching it too far, at least in the case of Samson, to talk about that scene where he's shorn of his strength and then defeats his enemies as a very clear foreshadowing of what appears to be happening at the cross with Jesus. Although it stands by itself as history, obviously it foreshadows the cross. Can someone sitting through the Wolverine movie, kind of cognizant of where that theme really comes from, the superhero movie makers didn't make it up. They're
right.
Borrowing it from Scripture, wittingly or unwittingly. Can they make that connection, do you think?
I think so. I mean, there's definitely on the surface that's part of it, because you have somebody who's very powerful, who ends up having all of his power taken away from him. Unfortunately, in this movie, you also he doesn't do it willingly. He has it stolen from him. With Christ, Christ says, you know, I lay down my life, right? Like he goes to the cross willingly. And that's not necessarily the case with this. I mean, this is one of these movies where, again, like these superheroes often, over and over again, they fit the model of the judge better than they fit the model of the Christ. But the model of the judge, you are right, always points to the model of the Christ. So it's always pointing forward to Jesus, but it would be hard to have a one-to-one analogy with Jesus in this particular case, because he really, the Wolverine character in this movie, he is having it stolen away from him, and he doesn't willingly go in for this.
Let's talk a little bit about what one kind of needs to know going into this. These sequels, especially the superhero sequels, will often presume a lot about the audience, that they have basically sat through other movies and are pretty familiar with the world and the storyline that the movie doesn't explicate. What do you need to know in this one before watching it?
Well, yeah, he's played this character a number of times. In fact, he's going to be, I think it's 7 times by next year, he'll have played this particular character. So there's a lot of backstory for him as an actor playing this character, and we've seen a lot. Plus, there's all the comic books and everything, too, and the TV shows, cartoons and things of that nature. But for this one, a really big, important plot point is it comes from this previous one, X-Men The Last Stand, which came out in 2006. And in that, the character of Jean Grey, at the end, it dies, and it's really at his hands, and he's kind of put into a situation where he has to do it to protect other people. But complicating all of that is that he loves her, even though she's not his to love. So afterwards, he's got all sorts of guilt, and it really sets the stage for this film. So you kind of need to know a little bit about that, because they don't give you a lot of background story as you sit down to watch this movie. They just kind of throw you right into the midst of it, and then you just get going. The actress who plays Jean Grey, she's in this movie, so Femke Janssen, same actress, and you see her at a number of different points. He's having, like, kind of dreams about her, and it's always connected with him at night and sleeping and things of that nature, so she just keeps showing up recurringly through the film. And it all kind of gravitates around that. And really, that incident in the storyline for this character is where he starts to lose his will to live and his sense of what he's supposed to be doing in the world. Yeah, so even though he's a very powerful, strong physical specimen, he just doesn't want to be anymore.
With only a couple minutes here, Pastor Giese, what big kind of Christian questions are raised in this film for the astute observer?
Well, some of the big ones in here would be a contemplation of what eternity is. and a person's place in it, and then also a contemplation of the nature of vocation. These are in that movie, particularly because he's kind of an ageless character, because of his ability to keep, without aging and to regenerate, like all of his health just gets injured. He just kind of resets back to the way he is. He doesn't age. So you have this where it starts off at the very beginning of the movie, and he's in World War II as a soldier. And then now you're in the modern day, and he essentially hasn't changed. So in a way, he's living this kind of eternity already, and he has no sight of the end of it, while other people around him die and the world progresses. He's there. So it's almost like this isn't exactly the case, but it's almost like he's got a resurrected body before the resurrection sort of thing, and he's just in here with everyone. And again, this is kind of maybe getting into something that's, the only one who has a resurrected body before the resurrection is Jesus. He's the only one that does. But he also, Jesus doesn't have adamantium claws. So there's the analogy completely breaks down at a certain point.
Real quickly, how does the film itself answer the question that you raised there? Is it kind of a walking curse to never die? How does the film itself answer that question with about a minute?
Yeah, it sets it up as kind of a false premise. Like, it's used as a way to try to entice him into the idea of giving up his power. But later in the film, near the end of the film, buried right in the middle of a giant fight sequence, big action, a villain in the film says to him, your mistake was to believe that a life without end can have no meaning. It is the only life that can have meaning. So even the one who's stealing the power from him knows that eternal life is the most important thing. And that's what is really fascinating about the movie.
Folks, you can read the excellent review of this movie, The Wolverine, by Pastor Ted Giese at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's an instructor for an online course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Thank you very much, Ted.
You're very welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17. God is providing for Elijah. Now, it's a multi-stage story. It starts with a famine, and the prophet is down by the brook. He drinks from the brook, and he eats the food that the ravens bring him. Then that dries up, and he goes to a woman, a little widow woman, takes all she has, but God still provides for them all, even in the face of death. We'll be right back.
Like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Does the theory of an old earth creation confess what the text of Scripture says about creation? I've written an article for the Fall Issues Etc. journal titled More Questions for Old Earth Creationists. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor David Ramirez details his journey from liberal Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The online Issues Etc. journal.
Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.